Dear Heavenly Father, we're now to approach the Word of God in honor of Easter this morning. And Father, we ask that you anoint the ears to hear, anoint the lips that speak. And Father, he that has ears to hear, if he will let himself hear what the Spirit would say today, Father, then we are going to have a good time in understanding what Easter is really all about. And Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege of freely and openly serve the kingdom of God without any government hindering us, without any force coming against us to be able to do this. Father, we are truly a blessed and privileged nation under God. Amen. Praise God. In Luke, I think it's in chapter 23. You don't have to turn there. Jesus was on the cross, and the thief next to him asked the Lord. He said, "I believe in you, Jesus." And Jesus turned to him, and in the Greek, it actually says, "Today thou wilt be with mine in paradise." I think the King James says, "You will be with me in paradise," but actually, "You will be with mine in paradise." And the reason he was saying that is because there are three compartments that the Bible speaks of that are in the center of the earth. One compartment being Sheol, or the region of the damned, those that do not receive Jesus while they were on planet earth. Then there's another region called Tartarus, and those are the fallen angels that violated the seed law. And they're chained there until the end of the age, and then they'll be released again. And then we have a place called Abraham's bosom, or paradise. It was known as a place where all the fallen saints, spiritually speaking, went and abode there until the firstborn from the grave. Now, when we celebrate Easter, we're celebrating a believer's celebration, because resurrection belongs to the believer. Are you following me? It symbolizes the inheritance of the believer, where the cross symbolizes an act of God to where mankind, all nations, whosoever will, can call upon the name of the Lord, because Jesus paid the price on the cross that would literally exempt mankind from the judgment of Christ through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen? This is so cool, little one. Hallelujah. Would you like your little binky back? You sure have it, baby. I got to take time for them little kids. So, to unbelievers, resurrection really isn't all that important to them as it is a believer, because without resurrection, there is no hope for that which is eternally going to exist. Now, this is just my personal opinion, but I thank God for Mel Gibson producing the movie The Passion. I really honestly do. Because I think it brought an awareness of what God did in Christ to a dying, depleting world. And I think he did a wonderful job. And I think he portrayed the truth in such an impacting way that I honor him in the fact of how he put that movie together and with the intensity that he did it. Because, listen, to an unbeliever, he doesn't really fully understand the whole thing. What was the purpose of Jesus going and dying like that? You really understand it when you receive Jesus and you get born again. But listen, that was an amplification to catch an unbeliever's attention, that Jesus would do that for them. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, when we talk about resurrection, we're looking at the other side of the cross. And if you look at just one side and you don't see the other side, then the fullness of his death and his burial and his resurrection would all be in vain. Paul was telling the Corinthian church, and they were a bunch of outlaws anyway, and Paul was telling them, now there's some of you spreading this doctrine that there be no resurrection. Well, if there be no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ has not risen, then we are literally false witnesses. Then our testimony would be in vain. There would be no reason for us to even stand here and begin to amplify what salvation really is all about to a dying world if our Lord had not risen. Now, bear with me just for a moment. Even though you see the cross and you see Jesus made sin who knew no sin, see, when he stood on the cross and said, "It is finished," see, he wasn't talking about the completeness of the redemptive work until resurrection. That's when it was literally finished. But what was he amplifying on the cross when he said, "It is finished"? Well, if you will, go to Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to get across to you today, as simply as I can, the importance of believing in Christ and his redemptive work on the cross so that you can inherit resurrection life. And see, the other side of the cross is not amplified on that much because really, believe it or not, organized church has squelched that revelation because of a demonic power that operates in our midst. Thank God the shackles are being taken off of the eyes of believers and they're starting to see the other side of the cross that's powerful. Are you following me? And that is resurrection. Because resurrection literally means that even though he was legally put to death, listen, he was also legally resurrected. See, and with resurrection, the understanding of resurrection, that is our 4th of July. That is our freedom. Are you following me? That is the believer's inheritance, resurrection power. And that is always in the perfect tense, meaning that which took place in the past is presently working right now, and it will be sufficient for that which is future. Amen. Glory to God. Now, the thing that the church has got to get an understanding of is in resurrection, it literally means that the powers of Satan have literally been dethroned over nations to keep them in bondage to spiritual death. They no longer can rule there because whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord can be saved, hallelujah, because of the redemptive work in Jesus. Now I'm going to do my best to explain how that redemption took place. But in Romans chapter 5, I'm going to do my best to explain this the best way I know how, so that it's not confusing to a whole bunch of us. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about a federal head. How many of you know what a federal head is? One who heads up something. One who's at the forefront of something. And he's the example or the pattern for all things to follow. Now, Adam, at verse 12, Romans 5, are you all there? It says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world," notice this, "and death through sin," now notice this, "and so death passed upon," notice this, "all men." All men. "For that all have sinned." Actually, it should have been translated, "inasmuch as all have sinned." Now let me ask you something. If death passed upon all men, listen, notice what it says here. "When it passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," isn't that kind of a bummer? One man's disobedience brought sin on the whole world, and it says because of that, all men have sinned. You know what that's saying? It's saying because of one man's disobedience. You know what that word for disobedience literally means? It means a failure to give attention when God speaks. Somebody said to me once, I don't understand how Adam could have fallen. I says, I do. There's a verse that tells me how he did. How? He failed to give attention to what God was saying. You know, how many times you've heard somebody say, well, I thought he was a believer. Why isn't he doing what Christ would do? Because he's in disobedience. Why? He's failing to give attention to what the Bible says. Because the Bible is still the spoken word of God. God is the spoken word. He's not a dead letter. He's a spoken word. He's Logos, spoken word. Hallelujah. Not the written word. He's the spoken word. The written word is grapho. The spoken word is Logos. But I thought rhema was a spoken word. It is. Rhema belongs in the mouth of the believer. Logos belongs in the mouth of God. And when you read your Bible today, God still has to speak that word alive to your heart. You don't read it and get it into your head. You read it and get it into your spirit. Because my words are spirit in their life. Now, Jesus told the man on the cross, he says, today you will be with mine in paradise. He went to that same place that Abraham did and all the others that believed on God, and it was accounted to them for the new birth. Right. And these men were spiritually dead and they were waiting there. Even in the book of Acts, David himself prophesied and said, he would not leave his Holy One in corruption, neither will he allow my flesh to remain in corruption, but he will bring us out in resurrection. And that's what happened in Matthew, the book of Matthew. It talks about when all the old saints of old came up out of the graves, when Jesus came up out of the graves, glory to God. That's why Jesus went to his disciples and said, oh, hell, I'm here. They said I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore, glory to God. Glory to God. Why? He whipped the devil on his grounds and on his terms. He fulfilled everything for all of mankind. Hallelujah. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. The only one thing that will stop a man from living eternally with Christ is the rejection of the redemption that God paid for him already. Man will not at the great white throne be judged for their sin. They will be judged for their rejection of the Lord. That's all. Why? Because their sins were paid at the cross. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why? Man doesn't know that they're in sin. Why? Because he didn't know that he had inherited sin. He didn't know that he had inherited a nature to sin. Why? Because he came out of the loins of the one man who was in disobedience. That's why it says, for all have sinned, meaning all have inherited the sin nature. And what is the sin nature? Spiritual death. What is spiritual death? It's when a man's spirit has been disconnected with God's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when Jesus came out of the grave, oh, I like that song by, I forgot who it was that sang it. Satan was calling up the grave, wanting to know if Jesus was still on ice or whatever it was. Huh? Oh, was it Carmen? I love that song. We were singing that, Bob Shem, remember driving down out of the mountains from hunting? We all of us were in that car singing that. Whoo, man, it gives me goosebumps. Sunday's coming. I like it when the devil called up and says, hey, you know, I can't hardly sleep. I even watched a horror flick and I didn't calm myself down. You gotta listen, words are funny. And that guy turned and he started going, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? And Jesus come up. And it says he whipped principalities and powers. And you know what? He did it for the whole world. He didn't do it just for the Christian. He did it for the unbeliever as well. He said, look, If God's going to require that a man fulfill the Mosaic law to inherit the Abrahamic covenant, then who's going to qualify to fulfill it? No one could. No one could. No one could fulfill the Mosaic law. No one could do it. And Jesus says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do it. And so when he was on the cross, the sight of the redemption that was on the cross when he said it is finished, he was referring to the work of the Mosaic law. He fulfilled it to the letter so that no man could ever say to God that humanity never fulfilled the law that was required by God. God sent his Son to do that for us. Him who knew no sin only became sin legally on our part. Not just for the believer, but for the unbeliever. Yeah, it's very funny how the church has let the unbeliever know that when they stand before God in judgment, they'll be judged for their sins. And that's not what it says in the book of Revelations. It says they'll be judged as to whether or not they received Jesus. Why? Because, specifically speaking, he paid the price for the sin on the cross. God ain't going to indict them for something that Jesus paid the price for. So they'll go to hell eternally for rejecting the price he paid for them, so they're without excuse. Now, if that's the case, then why do Christians still sin after they've been born again? Because deliverance from the dominion of sin is a process. It's a process. And guess how you have to fulfill it? The process of being over control of your flesh and the authority of sin has to be predicated on the fact that God's got to get a nature on the inside of you that's contrary to the nature of sin and death. And I call it spiritual life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you know why he came out of the grave? Why he could make a show of them openly triumphing? Because he was legally took there for your sin and my sin. When I was watching the Passion, I looked at that cross and I began to weep. Because I saw just, I don't know whether it was God or it was just something that just flashed before my mind. But I saw me on that cross. I saw me on that cross. And that's when the Lord spoke to me in that theater and said, I stood in for you. He stood in for me. The punishment that I deserve, he took. The punishment I deserve, he took. The punishment that I deserve, he took. But here's the beauty of it. He went there legally and was judged legally. Hallelujah. He was judged legally. Why? I legally transgressed against God. Right. You know, people say Jesus came to bridge the sin gap. That is a lie out of hell. Jesus came and annihilated the judgment of sin over humanity's life. He took it out of the way and he nailed that puppy to the cross. Yeah. Don't tell me he bridged. He didn't bridge nothing. He blew it out of the way. They're going to end this judgment from God to man. He pushed the plunger down and wiped that sucker clean. That's right. People said, boy, I can't hardly wait for Jesus to come and bring judgment on humanity. He did through Jesus. He brought judgment on humanity. It's called freeing them up. Why? Because they didn't know they were sinners. Why? Because through one man's disobedience, everybody inherited spiritual death. It wasn't like that I came out of the womb of my mother with a revelation that God was my Savior. I don't think any of you were an immaculate conception. Somebody came up and he says, you want to get saved? And I started laughing. I said, from what? That was my mentality. I didn't have no fear that I was going to the eternally damned. I had no fear of this world. I had no fear that I could lose my life the very next breath. You know, I didn't have that kind of fear, and I was spiritually dead. But what happened if I did step out in front of an automobile or get killed or something before I got born again? I'd still end up on the other side of this realm realizing, where am I at? You stand before some demonic power that says, well, Jesus got out of here, but you're not gonna. Why? His banner is not over you. Why? Did you receive Him in this lifetime? I always have to ask this question, ask me. What about those who've never heard? Well, I can't answer who has and who hasn't heard, but I can answer one thing. Jesus will see to it everyone hears. Hallelujah. Noah's flood. Very interesting. God didn't approach Noah and tell him to build an ark for children. He didn't approach Noah and say, build an ark for innocent children. They perished with the flood. Those were the spirits in Peter that talks about the children being brought into paradise, Abraham's bosom. And they awaited there, not really knowing why. And it says that when Jesus came out of the region of the dam and suffered spiritual separation, and He went on over into paradise, He said to them, He said He preached to them. In other words, He told those innocent children why they were preserved in a state of innocency from the parents so they would not be eternally damned. They're now in the third heaven. Those are the spirits He went and preached to that were sometime disobedient during the building of the ark. Now, we always see one side of our redemption. We only see the cross. But what I'm preaching to you today is, what is the purpose of resurrection? Here's the purpose of resurrection. You will become a new creature in Christ Jesus. What He's talking about, a new creation, not outwardly, but inwardly. And what He does is, when you receive Jesus and you're born again. How many of you heard the term born again? Your inner man is birthed or permeated or impregnated with the life and nature of God. Now that life and nature of God has to express itself out through your physical man. But if your physical man is not disarmed, the life of God will not come out of your inner man. Therefore, you will not be an example to a dying world what true Christianity really is all about. It is literally becoming born again and transformed spiritually so that your spiritual mind that you inherit with the life and nature of God will dominate the natural soul. And control it and get it transformed and changed in the way it thinks. I had a man tell me one time he went there and he came out. And he said, I don't know why I wasn't permanently residing there. But he said, I was called forth from the grave. And he said, in the meantime, I gave my heart and life to Jesus. He said, Jan, I don't want to tell you how hideous that place is. He said, it's worse than a freak show. Amen. People go ahead and take their life, commit suicide to get peace, and go to a place where there is no peace. Where will the torment end? It'll only end if a person reaches out and says, Jesus, I want to receive Your life. I want to get born again. And I don't want anything to do with the powers of darkness. See, Jesus died for the dying. He died for the hurting. He died for those that are bound up in drugs. He died from those that are bound up in sexual promiscuity. He died for those that are coveting and have no control over it. No way of getting free from the destiny of flesh. And this flesh will come to an end one day. Thank God for it. But you know what? It's not Jesus is going to bring it to an end. Humanity is going to get so bad that it'll tip the scales towards Jesus and the Father having to put an end to this thing. When you got more going out than coming in, something has to put an end to it. When your investment is not making its earning, you watch Jesus. You'll put an end to this world. He'll come and bring a judgment. 7 years of tribulation, this world. But I'll tell you what, He'll come to get His children. And I'm not talking about those that get born again and die again spiritually. Those that deny Him openly, subtly, and think they're okay with God. No, the life and nature of God on the inside of you will drive you and compel you to want more of God on a consistent basis. That's why the love of God is brought to perfection in those who believe in Him, is because they are being changed by that nature that is on the inside of them. That's why Jesus said, just as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, or many inherited spiritual death, that as by another man, which is Jesus, whosoever calls upon His name will then receive newness to life. They'll get born again. They'll receive the righteousness of God in their heart and life, and they'll begin to dominate their natural man in its torment and torture to society. Glory to God. I woke up this morning, I said, thank God for resurrection. Why? I have dominion over my life in the natural because of it. Why? Because I have control over my spiritual life in the realm of the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God I've been born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. I don't have to live according to that old life anymore. I don't have to live by the torment of that old life anymore. Why? They have passed away. My life has become new now. That's why Paul says, I serve the Lord out of my spirit. Glory to God. You know why there's a lot of unhappy believers? They haven't learned how to die out to their flesh so that resurrection life can live through them. You know why a lot of believers aren't free? They haven't been able to look into the perfect law of liberty. What? My spirit man. I just can't break the sin of my... If you're a believer, you're born again in your spirit filled. I got news for you. You can break that sin in your life. It's a lie of the devil, because he didn't get a man born again for sin to dominate him. He says in Romans chapter 6, sin shall not have any dominion over you. Why? When you get born again, you don't have to put up with that garbage. That's resurrection power. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know what the word in the Greek means for new creature? He is back to the original formation of what he was to begin with. Glory to God. Oh, I'm free. It might not seem that way in the natural, but I tell you what, I am free. That wisdom will come one day when I walk out of this bondage. Hallelujah. God will show me. There is no temptation taking me such as common to man. But I'm not a common man. Hallelujah. I'm a supernatural, born again, tongue talking, Bible stopping, devil walking, what? Believer. Yes. Glory to God. Yes, sir. I get the devils on the run, man. I walk them right out of my life. You don't have them tell you what to do. You tell them what to do. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, I'll not put up with you any longer. You get. You don't come messing with me. Why? I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I don't have to put up with you. Glory to God. Some Christians are just flat wimps. Why? They want to be. They love darkness more than they do light. When you love light more than darkness, you'll get the victory. Because there is no temptation taking you such as common to man. But God will make a way of escape for you. I got Bible on it. I'll tell you what, you can plan for all the retirement you want, brother and sister. But I ain't going to be like my dad. He was constantly consumed with investments and money and everything. And he did everything so Mr. Perfect right. Gets retired, lives 5 years and croaks. Why don't you do that for your inner man?
Amen.
Build up a reward system for that which you're going to live eternally.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about ignoring retirement, but when you put retirement before that which is eternity, you're whacked. You need to get your head right. We serve a living God. We serve a great salvation. If you choose to live defeated, it's because you simply choose to live defeated. Glory to God. Thank God time's up. I'm liable to start to sing out good and then get... Glory to God. 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 I can get up and I don't have to suck a sour pickle in the morning. If I do, I choose to. If I don't, it's because I don't want to. You don't want to stay in fellowship with God when you want to rebel. Because His voice is real loud when you're in fellowship with Him. You can't hardly get away with nothing. Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. Look at this. Romans 5 in closing. Romans chapter 5. Oh, I love this. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgression. What was that? You and I didn't personally transgress against a word given to us by God like Adam did, but we inherited the results of Adam's disobedience. Now notice this. Of Adam's transgression. Now notice who is the figure. This is a word typos. Of him that was to come. It doesn't mean that Jesus was a type of Adam in his failure. It means that Jesus is a type of Adam in what he represented. As in Adam all die. But in Jesus all can be made righteous. I like this. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many died, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Why? The whole world. The whole world. Are you ready? On the other side of the cross, when Jesus came out in resurrection power, He came out as a man born out of sin. The believer inherits resurrection. He inherits resurrection. He inherits resurrection. But are you ready? He inherited the payment at the cross. But He also inherited the resurrection on the other side of the cross. And what He was referring to there, as by one man, everyone was made in spiritual death, that through the resurrection of Jesus now, the believers can inherit eternal life. And we use that word so cheaply. Eternal life means the life and nature of God spermed in you to become a son and daughter of God, so that you are now in control of your new life over your flesh. We're without an excuse. When we fall, it's because we like our darkness more than we do the light. That's why I tell God every day, help me to disdain darkness so that more light will rule. Did you get something here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been born from above. I've been born from above. You know what? We're going to see the church go into revival when the church gets to a place of becoming obedient to what they have been made in Christ. Nothing is more sadder to me when I see a Christian identify with an Old Testament saint. It crushes me. I had one brother come up to me and say, you know, I like the Old Testament so well. I said, why? He says, because I so identify with those Old Testament saints. And I looked at him and I says, well, I only identify to the New Testament saint. And he looked at me and said, well, what do you mean? I said, I have to look at Jesus and become in His image. Amen. Not according to those Old Testament believers. Why? They didn't have the life and nature of God in them like I do. I'm born from above, man. I have Jesus in me. Why would I want Samuel in me? Why would I want one of those Old Testament saints in me? They were servants. I'm a son. Even the Bible said that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And he looked at me and said, well, I never thought of it that way. I said, I know. A lot of us haven't thought of it that way. Why? We've been churched. I'm not churched. I'm fellowshipped to life. Somebody said, what church you go to? The Fellowship of the Firstborn. That's my church. 7 days a week. Well, you know, I'm talking about the physical building. Yeah, by His Word Christian Center. Yeah, I go to church there. That's where I'm equipped. So I can do the work of an evangelist. Some people think a church is supposed to do the work of an evangelist. Evangelists are supposed to do the work of an evangelist. A pastor is supposed to equip you for servicing in evangelism. I'm born again. I have resurrection life on the inside of me. You got resurrection life on the inside of you? Have you got resurrection life on the inside of you? Have you got resurrection life on the inside of you? Have you got resurrection life on the inside of you? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm beginning to see the reason why I can succeed. I pray in tongues a lot. Jude said these Christians got born again and died spiritually again. Tree whose fruit withered and died and they become spiritual. He said, but you, beloved, praying in the Holy Ghost to build your most holy faith. That's why I pray in tongues every day. I offer my spirit to God in tongues every day. Why? Because my natural man wants to talk more than my inner man does. And I purpose to let my inner man do more talking than my outer man. Why? I don't know what it does, but it just seems to energize me. It seems to keep me on fire for God. Somebody said, you need to get revived. I am revived, brother. I haven't gotten out of revival. Hallelujah. What do you mean? I don't want to go to a revival service when I'm revived. I want to go and evangelize. Glory to God. T.L. Osborne taught me that. He says most churches are trying to do evangelistic services when they should be doing revival meetings. Evangelism is for the streets. You guys should be so on fire, you go out in the streets, out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in for the equipping of the ministry. Glory to God. Somebody said, how soon is the Lord returning? Oh, people, I'm going to tell you right now, the return of the Lord is very soon. It is sooner than what you give yourselves credit for in your thinking. Now, the unbeliever, he doesn't like to think that way. Why? Their world ends. Ours is just beginning. When we've been there 10,000, I love that song. When we've been there 10,000 years, we no less days to sing God's praise. 10,000 years? And no less days to sing God's praise? That's eternity. That's eternity. Stand up, everybody. I didn't do a third in closing. I did an extended one in closing. Praise God. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, we thank You for resurrection power. We thank You for Jesus that paid the price on the cross as the ultimate mediator for the world. Father, Jesus found a way where He became the ultimate mediator. He put one hand on humanity and one hand on You, God, and He brought the two impossibilities together. What a great salvation. What a great salvation. Something's coming up in my spirit, and I don't know whether to... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Because of your failure to be obedient to Me, you've inherited much tribulation in your life. And this much tribulation now is turning your heart against Me. Thus saith the Lord, stop that nonsense from having a voice in your mind. You're starting to get to a place now where even your own Christian, the very thing that you have been a representative of, you're now mocking in your heart and you don't even realize it. Thus saith the Lord, you stop that right now, because what it will do is it'll cause you to enter back into spiritual death. Because I will not ever come against a man's will. And if you turn your will against Me, therefore you have denied Me. And then that which is eternally damned will be a choice that you make. Stop your mind from telling you what it wants to tell you. Start resisting it by the Word of God. And I'm speaking to a man here that you know better than to start thinking the things that you're thinking. And it's come through your own tribulation that you've instructed without even asking Me about it. You need to cease what you're doing in your mind. You need to stop thinking the way you're thinking, because you're turning yourself against Me. Stop that process now. And you know who I'm talking to, because I'm putting My Spirit upon you now in a fearful way, saith the Lord. You will cease what you're doing in your thought life towards Me. You will cease what you're thinking about the church. You will cease what you're thinking about your brother. If anybody says you hate a brother, it means the truth of God is not working in you and you have become a liar. For you're representing Me and turning Me into a lie when you represent yourself as a believer. You stop your process, saith the Lord. You stop it. Hotoshende. Gelapochana kiata. Hallelujah. I don't know whether that was one person or meant for sale. I don't know. But if the shoe fits, wear it. Hallelujah. Now with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you can truthfully say, well, I don't know whether I've been born again or not. I've done good things for people. I've said good things about people. I've been even picture perfect in the natural. But I don't know whether I've really given my heart and life to Jesus. Well, there's only one way that you do it, and that is to confess Him with your mouth openly, that He is your Lord and Savior. And you receive newness of life. Then you go on in and get baptized in water. Therefore, it's an outward sign of an inward transformation. So if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that in just a minute. And if you as a believer has been backslid in your heart, you haven't been reading, you haven't been praying, you've been allowing things to come into your heart and life to distract you from the kingdom of God, you don't have the zeal or fire that you once had, it's because your fellowship with Him has been broken, and you can restore that today. And if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking now that heavenly language that the Holy Spirit gives your inner spiritual being, that language so that you can draw the mysteries out with, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. And if you're here as a believer and you have a right to your redemptive rights as far as physical healing goes, and if you truly believe that you can receive from the Lord at the altar here when the elders lay hands on you, you will be healed. If you truly believe it. But oh beloved, don't go back and sit in your seat and wonder if you got it. If you came forward, you got to know you got it. And so we're going to go ahead and close this service again. Tonight we will not have a service because it's Easter. We do this every Easter. But right after I dismiss, those of you that I spoke to this morning that would like to come forward, feel free to do that at that time. The rest of you can leave. So with that, you're dismissed. Have a wonderful Easter.